Hey, all right. This is me, the fourth installment, Scott, and I have not been here in a while. Haven't really been doing too much. Been, taking care of some other business. But the thing I really want to bring up is, it's been all over the news everywhere, is the reparations that have been voted on in Georgetown, along with Nipsey Hussle's funeral. First, the reparations. I believe that reparations deal that's going to be signed today, or maybe yesterday, because it's the 12th of April. I'm not sure how that's going to go down. I'm pretty sure, though, it's going to be a dogfight in there, because the reparations thing has been, bill or what have you, has been on the table for quite some time now. There's been plenty of time for people to go ahead and make a decision on that. Nobody has, because it didn't affect people directly. Now, this is my opinion on how it affects people directly now. Well, not just buying a home, not just repairing credit, but also the economy. If the economy's tanking, why don't you go ahead and give those same people who spent $42 billion with Nike because of a Kaepernick ad, give them some more money so they can spend more money with you. That's the way I see it. Now, if I... which I do own a business, but it's like if I owned, you know, multiple businesses that, you know, dealt with direct retail, you dang right, I'm going to go ahead and be like, hey, you, go ahead, you know, come buy this Cadillac, or, you know, if I'm selling KitchenAids, or, you know, if I'm selling clothes, you know, come buy this, buy these shoes, buy this jewelry, whatever. I'm going to direct all my ads towards those people with reparations. And that makes sense to me, because maybe some people aren't financially literate. Some people just don't care. Hey, I just got $200,000. Instead of me investing this money in my neighborhood, I'm going to go ahead and make y'all rich. If I was the one who had, you know, the power to dictate where that money was going and these ads are going, that's what I would do. Ads going straight over there. Like, I will put Young Thug on a Coke 45 ad so quick if I knew people were going to buy Coke 45 because of Young Thug. Now, you'll say, oh man, that's terrible. You know, but in that being terrible, it's true. How many times have you been to Chicago and you've seen the McDonald's ad where you have these young black people who playing a violin on a, you know, on a bus? Or you see the commercial with the black woman who was eating the Big Mac, and the guy who was eating the Big Mac, and the guy had the corny ringtone, and the girl had the gangster ringtone. You know, that's an old McDonald's commercial. But, again, now those, I never seen that anywhere else. Like, that electronic fencing is what they do for advertising. Things like that pop up. But that's mainly for the internet. But, you know, you'll get those commercials that pop up where they're geared to, for an urban audience. Hell, you go to the suburbs, or you go to a more... and it's an affluent area, which means, you know, code word for white with money. You go there, their McDonald's menu doesn't even read the same, besides it being digital. They don't put Sprite with a, or a Fanta orange, or Fanta strawberry with a Big Mac or a chicken sandwich. You know, chances are it's going to be a Coca-Cola with a chicken sandwich. You know, they gear fruit-flavored things to us, because that's what we like. Much like when they start gearing clothes, they don't put, you know, a random white guy in a sweatsuit with a do-rag. Nah, they show a brother with it, like on a basketball court, or just walking down the street in urban quote-unquote gear, and they show a black woman doing the same thing. You'll see some of it now, but it's not as prevalent. Not that what I've seen anyway. So with that said, reparations. It's coming or it's not. I believe it is, because it's going to stimulate the economy in its own way. Not within the black community so much as in other communities. And that's the mental. I said mental. I need to stop reading and doing this at the same time. That is the thought process. I would believe behind it. That, yeah, it's gonna give us the money right back. Okay, now to Nipsey. Nipsey Hussle's funeral was beautiful. It reminded me of like a B.I.G. when he passed. How his funeral, it went back in his old neighborhood and the people poured out to pay their respects. Everything was, it was beautiful. Like, I mean, just the way his family spoke about him, his friends spoke about him, the way they loved him openly. It wasn't like, you know, just RIP on a t-shirt. Like, it was posts everywhere. Their pictures. I don't know who was painting all these pictures, but that man was painting pictures left and right. And I mean, these portraits of Nipsey. He was wrote into Congress for all his philanthropy. He and his brother bought back the very neighborhood, the very area where they were terrorized. His mother and father are extremely strong people. Right, for his mother to in a face-to-face interview, she said that she was at peace and they were at peace with what happened. And she said it not with tears behind her eyes, but she said it with so much like truth in her spirit. Like you could hear it. She was really, she was at peace. She knew her son wasn't in danger anymore. She knew her son wasn't hurting anymore. You know, it showed the video of his father back in his home country of Eritrea and how people were wearing the shirts and they were doing a memorial service, you know, for him in Eritrea, which was beautiful. I almost said eulogy. It wasn't the eulogy. Anyway, just how everyone loves him. And it's true that his energy is not destroyed, it's only transferred. Everyone loves him to death. You know, the conspiracy theories and I wouldn't be surprised, like, tomorrow if someone said they seen him eating a fat burger. Like, you know, there's some guy who's light-skinned with braids. Like, oh, that's Nipsey eating a fat burger. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if that started happening. Like, they did, like they do Tupac. Like, you see two or three guys look like Tupac, they swear to God it's Tupac. Like, it's a guy right now in South America who's in, he probably in danger. Somebody looking for him because they swear to God he's Tupac. The way the Nation of Islam held security and the words spoken about him from the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, excuse me. It was that was very touching, you know, and he had a letter written to his family and friends from Barack Obama. It was very touching as well. The family, just the community, and the way people are pushing not to get any clout for themselves is more like, hey, y'all support the, if y'all really support this man, go ahead and buy his music because he owns his master, so his music, so his money goes straight to his family, and go ahead and buy, you know, something from the Marathon store, which I feel like that's the best move. We gonna support him? Yeah, we support his family too. Not like, no, we're paying their bills. I'm saying as in, we love you. We love you enough to give back. We love you enough to take stake in what you've given us. That, to me, says a lot more than just saying, hey, Nip, we miss you. When you can do something like that, that's excellent. And also, I was looking at something on Instagram, and it made not just plenty of sense, but something you never really thought about. Snoop has been through two generations of legends being murdered. Tupac, now Nipsey. I don't know Snoop's state of mind right now. Because it's just like, man, two people I held close to me, held in regard as family, they've been murdered. And it's not like he had anything to do with either one of them. It's just like, damn. You know, will that prevent him from getting close to the next guy? Will that keep him looking over his shoulder? You know, will that keep him from ever reaching out to anyone else again in a mentor sense, in a homie sense? Like, I have to admit, it does feel very, it feels reminiscent. Like, when it, you know, when I had said before, it felt, you know, it felt harsher. It hurt a little more. But it's because it's reminiscent. Like, you hear about people getting shot every day. But hearing about people getting shot every day and not surviving, it's like, oh. You know, not quite what we were thinking we were going to hear. And being murdered is, it's a tragedy. But when you take someone who not just influenced the world, but he influenced generations of people who kind of counted out, you know, like, nobody really thinks about these 20-year-olds doing anything big. Like, you might have 1 out of 100 that does something big, but the other 99, they're just kind of, you know, following the trend here, following the trend there. Very, very different. And his mindset was ahead of its time. Like, you look at old interviews, they pull up when he's about 19, and he's talking about owning property, you know, being a philanthropist early on. I mean, not only does it say something about him, but it says something about his parents too. Like, to have that, I'm gonna say that was instilled in him. Like, it was already there, but it was like reinforced. Like, hey, I'm gonna keep watering this plant till it grows strong. I don't know if you'll ever find another person in this generation with that kind of influence. And it was real influence. It wasn't something that you just find, you know, just in anybody. This was the level of a Malcolm almost. Like, this man has gangs that have been going at each other since the Hatfield and McCoy era almost. Now they're in unity. Can't, you know, I'm not going to speak ill of it and say, you know, this or that, but yeah, he brought unity. He brought people together that normally wouldn't be together. People have squashed beefs for the time being because of him. Now, can I see this happening all across the world? Maybe. You know, can I see this happening in any other city? I would hope so. And I'm speaking on Chicago, being that, you know, I'm from Chicago. And I'm from the South Side, 71st and South Prairie, and 69th in Michigan. And I've had the displeasure of not being able to go to school. Well, not being able to go play basketball at a park because they're holding a gang meeting. Or you can't go down this street because They got an SOS, and anybody going down this street, if they involved in the SOS, they not have to be involved in the SOS. You just going down the street. And if enemy's on that street and you get hit with him, then you just got hit with him. You know, the living on the floor. Like, and most people who were out in the 90s know what I'm talking about. Living on the floor, meaning you ate your cereal, your dinner. If you was home for lunch, you ate your lunch on the floor because a bullet would fly through the window on you. And you really didn't sit in your living room so much as if you had like a dining room that was away from the window, you sat in the dining room. The level of the intensity of the violence and the, I would just use the word savagery, that behavior, that's where that comes from. And I mean, in some places like Chicago, like LA, you know, I even throw St. Louis in there. Like LA right now is making peace. I don't know if Chicago and St. Louis can do that because of I don't know if they've had anyone as of recent to influence that city the way that Nipsey influenced LA. Well, I'm just saying like the way he touched people in LA. Like I think Fredo was the last one in Chicago to maybe touch people the same way, but he didn't touch everybody. Like it's pretty cut and dry in Chicago. Like your gang violence, not gang violence, but your gang territories, and those territories are violent. So it'd be like if you're on the west side of, which is across Halsted, like west side going down Madison, you know, that is, once you cross Halsted, you're on the west. And, you know, you go all the way down to K-Town, and you're dealing with them over there, and you got Racine, and so forth. But you take Halsted south, and you cross, let's say, Canal, you know, when you were near north, that's when you, like, near north is you coming from the south going towards downtown. You cross that. Now you're in the south side, and being there, you know, it's cut and dry. South side is really about colors, about the way, you know, certain things you wear, like Duke Blue Devils or Boston Red Sox. You know, if you're wearing Chicago versus Bulls, like, you know, if you're wearing the word Bulls, that's for Blackstones. If you're wearing the word Chicago, that's for everybody else. That's mainly for folks. Yeah, you know, it's very cut. It's really not just segregated, but it's particular. They're meticulous in their gangbanging. Yes, meticulous in their gangbanging on the south side versus the west side. If your head is kicked to the left, chances are you from a neighborhood over there. They'll start looking at, okay, you know, you this, you that, whatever. But they kind of keep it simple versus on the south side where it gets meticulous. You know, we're looking at, oh, that's your blue. But then, that ain't just blue. You know, you went on the left. So what you BD, what you BG, you know, and it's always some questions. I would never want a tragedy to bring people together. I would love for unity across the board. I don't see that happening, though. Like, in St. Louis, they don't have that type of unity because they don't have those type of influences. Now, you could, but it go all the way back to those petty hood beefs. And those petty hood beefs do it every time. Like, you didn't do something, but say your brother's friend Melvin shot somebody back in 97. Melvin went to prison for the rest of his life behind that. Now, your brother turned around and, you know, he got shot by one of the gangs that Melvin shot at. And now it's your turn to go retaliate for him. There's nobody there to stop that. There's no influencer to stop that, like in the St. Louis or Chicago. In fact, I really think the people thrive off the beef. Like, they feed off of it so tough. You know, and it partly is because of that's what you know. Like, you know how to deal with the chaos. When you had the peace and you have to turn around and check yourself, then that's a little tougher because now you have to be honest with yourself, and that's not something everybody can do. You know, being honest, if it was that easy, we all would do it. Some of us have to learn how to be honest, and some of us are born honest. But that's my rant right now. Hopefully, somewhere down the line, you will take this rant, maybe use it, maybe not sure. But you all have a wonderful day. Talk to you later.